WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. I got the Window Nation shirt on, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, 0% financing throughout the month of October, whether the Orioles are in or out, and whether the Ravens win or lose or not. It's also brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We had a bunch of winners. I gave about 100 of these away on Sunday. Maryland Lottery, Raven scratch-offs up at the Hollywood Casino. We had $5 winner, $10. We had a $20 winner as well up in Perryville. We'll be getting back up there for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour soon as well. And our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, want to give them a shout-out. My little oil change light came on Friday. I got to get over to Merritt Boulevard this week to see our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Same as you could and should be doing as well. This guy is resting comfortably and waiting all things Owings Mills after a week in Texas, eating leftover barbecue, watching the Orioles circle the drain, now watching the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers play, as well as his brother-in-law's beloved Phillies this week. We welcome Luke Jones back onto the program. Early morning, we were up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Ravens, I called it an escape, Luke, and I didn't even write a column this off the game because I'm sort of reserving judgment. I'm more interested in the Lions game this week somehow, like a real competitive game with a real quarterback and a starting quarterback. I think, and we'll get to the Lions. We'll have plenty of time to talk about them this week, and they've been impressive and were impressive, I think, down in Tampa, despite those good-looking uniforms that the Buccaneers wore on Sunday. This Titans game, they escaped, they won. I have no complaints. The one thing I would say, the lead story to me is they could be 6-0. They're not, but they could be. And they've been better than these other teams with backup quarterbacks. But that shouldn't be shocking that they beat some guy named Malik that I hadn't heard much about, who's out there running around after Tannehill, the Cleveland guy a couple weeks ago, Gardner Minshew. I mean, they've just seen – they haven't seen elite competition. They really haven't. And whatever the Bengals were a couple weeks ago, and I'll give them all the credit in the world as their Super Bowl 2 years ago and Joe Burrow, and he was gimpy. They haven't played a good team yet. I don't know whether they're a good team. I think they are, and 4-2. And the fact that they could be 6-0 indicates that. But they haven't played like a good team. They haven't played stretches where they look in any way, I don't want to say complete. That's a January thought. And with all the injuries, but I'm perplexed by them. This has been a choppy start to the season. Not that they aren't, and whenever you escape, but I'm trying to figure out what they are, and I think they are too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think they're a good football team. I don't think talking out of turn and saying that, considering they just played three straight road games. They did go into Cincinnati, and I'm in agreement with you, and even the Bengals right now better than they were in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Joe Burrow looks healthier, although that certainly wasn't a dominant performance against Seattle on Sunday, but they've gotten off the mat. But I was impressed in week two in Cincinnati. Keep in mind how many members of the offensive line and how many starters they had banged up. I think that's part of this narrative that we can't forget about as we're assessing this team through 6 weeks. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. Now they're getting healthier. That's the good news, although they had a couple injuries on Sunday, and we'll see where Marcus Williams is and some of these other guys that got banged up. But they are certainly in a better place health-wise now than they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that's a good sign. But I can't say I disagree with your overall sentiment there. I think it's a team that's looked good at times. I think they've looked great for some stretches, but those stretches have been pretty fleeting. And we've seen a defense that has played at a very high level, right? I think it's fair in giving some praise to the defense. There's no question about that. Even in a couple of these losses where you say, okay, they gave up too much yardage on the ground to the Colts. Marlon Humphrey gets beat in the final minute in Pittsburgh, but the defense was not the main reason why they lost those games. I think we would all agree with that. So they have a really good defense that, to me, has shown stretches of playing great. Have they done that for a full 60 minutes week in and week out? No. And it's really tough to do that. But I think on the flip side, it's an offense that you see good things out of it. You see stretches where they move the ball at will. And then you see other times like what we saw on Sunday, specifically in the red zone, where they can't get out of their own way and they can't score touchdowns when you need to score touchdowns, quite frankly. And that's resulted in them leaving the competition And in our, I think you said it, and I agree with you, inferior competition in football games. And it's one thing to do that against a team like Tennessee. It's another thing to think about that like this coming week. And I'm in agreement with you. The Detroit Lions are a really interesting football team. And for me, it's not just the level of competition that they're going to face on Sunday. It's also the back end of going to London. You know, there's so much focus on when you get there, how you adjust to the time change, how you're going to play, how are you going to handle being, you know, across the pond and thousands of miles away from home. But I think there's also the question of how do you readjust to coming home, readjust to Eastern time, readjust to sleeping in your own bed after being away for nearly a full week, and you know how you go out and play, especially if you're going to have a 1 o'clock start. I think we all remember how the Ravens played against Jacksonville 6 years ago in London. Do we remember how they played against Pittsburgh the following Sunday? That wasn't pretty either. So I think that's where there is some question and there is some, I don't know if strategy is the right word, but best practices, let's say, in terms of how do you readjust? If you're John Harbaugh, how hard do you have guys practice this week? What do you do schedule-wise to reacclimate them to Eastern time as they've been used to being 5 hours ahead of where they normally are time-wise? So, you know, I think that's a really intriguing question. And it's a Detroit Lions team that's playing really good football. I mean, Jared Goff has this stigma attached to him as the guy that McVay and the Rams didn't want. But go look at what his numbers are this year. He's playing really good football. I'm not saying he's going to be MVP of the league, but his numbers have been really good. And, you know, even some of his peripheral numbers and analytics and things of that nature are pretty painting him pretty favorably. So this could be a challenge. They've got talent. You know, this is a team that plays hard. And this year, you know, last year we saw the second half of the season, they learned how to win. And, you know, we saw what they did in Green Bay at the end of the season, but it's going to be a challenge for them. So the Ravens coming off of a stretch of three straight road games, I think winning two out of three, anyone would have taken that going into the season. 4-2, I'm in agreement with you. Yes, they could be 6-0. You know what? They were 3-3 last year at this point in time. And what were we saying then? They were a few plays away from being 6-0. Remember, lost to Miami, lost to Buffalo, lost to the Giants in those first six games. So it's a very similar story to what we saw last year. So they're in good position in terms of the standings and mathematically speaking and the fact that they've played more on the road than they have at home. But, yeah, they've got to get better. There's no question about that. What we saw on Sunday was not an effort, was not a performance that you looked at and say, wow, that looks like a championship-caliber football team. It was good enough. And, hey, that's in the NFL, week-to-week league, being good enough, That's what you need most weeks, right? I mean, it's just the reality. I mean, there are very few teams that are going to look like, you know, it's not college football where someone's number one in the rankings and the polls and you look like you're, you know, a world beater every single week. But they certainly need to get more consistent on the offensive side of the ball. Red zone drops the previous week. You know, they cleaned up the drops this week, but they couldn't put the ball in the end zone. So it's just been choppy. It's been inconsistent. It's looked really good at times. And then you have other times where it's looked very mediocre. And where you look at where they rank in terms of points scored, in terms of yards per play, you know, they've been middle of the pack in many of those categories. So they're still looking for their identity. And as much, Nestor, as much as we've talked about the throwing the ball and passing and all that, when they have tried to run the ball, it hasn't always looked great. Let's call a spade a spade. Lamar running the ball looks great for the most part, and we know what his ability to scramble does for this entire offense. But in terms of when they've lined up to play bully ball, to run between the tackles, to hand it to Gus Edwards between the tackles, it hasn't always looked great, and it certainly didn't look great on Sunday. If you look,
I have no confidence in that unless they're playing a defensive front that's a sieve, and if their defensive front's a sieve, generally. It's 28-10 in the fourth quarter when that, you know what I mean? Like if the defensive line's a sieve, you're going to run on them all day. If it's not, you think, well, third, fourth quarter, we'll beat them up. We'll soften them up a little bit, get them where, you know, get the Gus bus going, start powering down. If we have a 7 or a 10 point lead late in the game to try to put them to sleep. I don't know that they have that ability, and certainly not against a good team. And I'd have to see that against Buffalo, against Kansas City, against a real Cincinnati team where the defense came out and looked decent this week. Teams that are rounding in. Again, with the Lions, we're going to see these NFC teams, right? Like Lions, Cardinals, who do we have
Seahawks.
After Seahawks after
Seattle.
That coming in here, right? Like, and they didn't look good over the weekend either. Weird teams, teams that you don't prepare for often, as opposed to these Browns, Bengals, Steelers games. We see these teams every year. Feels like you see the Colts every year too, but I would say these are weird preparation games the next couple of weeks because the Lions are sort of the flavor of the league right now. Yeah, that's a quality win. If they beat a starting quarterback at home, beat this team, beat them thoroughly, and do the things that we've talked about, which is finish a game, finish a drive, finish something. Have something that on Monday, Luke and Ness say, that unit, that part, that thing, other than the kicker, looks good. You know, look good for four quarters. Not, well, it worked sometimes, and then it didn't work, and then the backup quarterback came in, and we almost lost. And that's not what we're expecting to be talking about on Monday. And I would think this is a week, finally, that I look at the calendar and say, they got a real challenge here this week. They win this one, then I start to talk about them moving to the next level in the league. And if they drop a game like this at home, then you start scratching your head a little bit. But 6 weeks in, if I had to go on a national show right now and talk about the Ravens and what their identity is, I'm like, well, they want to run the ball, but they can't. And then they say they don't want to throw the ball, and it doesn't look like they want to throw the ball. And when they do, it's really about efficiency. They don't take hits down the field. They really don't. And they don't protect Lamar all that well. And I don't know that Lamar is really comfortable in the pocket to be that guy. To your point, fourth quarter, tight game, we need a play. Lamar, you go run it. That's what they do. And they fall back to that. And it works, and they escape. And it's not a bad thing that that works. It's a bad thing that they need it to work. Because when I was sitting up at Hollywood Casino at halftime on Sunday, I thought, well, this is a week where they come out, score twice after all the field goals, and then Tyler Huntley will run around out there, and Lamar will put on some sunglasses and get on the plane. Didn't work that way. And I need more of that, to your point. Get Lamar off the field in the fourth quarter, win some games. Like you said with the Orioles, we don't need a closer tonight. Win some games flat out, especially against bad teams with backup quarterbacks. And they have scuffled to do that, and they gave one away against Pittsburgh last week. Not a backup, but soon to be a backup. Kenny Pickett will be a backup before he's a starter. Before he's starting playoff games, he'll be a backup.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I think that's certainly up for debate in Pittsburgh as far as his big picture role and how that's going to work. But, yeah, and look, let's be clear. To expect blowouts in the NFL, that doesn't happen a whole lot. Now it happens, but you don't have too many teams that do that on a regular basis. The Ravens 4 years ago did that. The 2019 Ravens were one of the great regular season teams of the last 20, 25 years. I mean, they just were when you look at what their point differential is and all that. I mean, we've been over that. So it's not even that for me as much as when you have these games that look like they should be in hand, you got to keep your foot on the gas, right? And that's where they've really struggled. Look at what they're, if you break down their splits and their, you know, their points per drive and yards per play and all those different things that you look at when you really try to, you know, kind of look, take a deeper dive, they have not been good in the fourth quarter. They just haven't. And obviously that's something that needs to change, whether you're trailing in the fourth quarter against a good team and you're trying to mount a comeback, or as we've seen in these, you know, three times in the last 4 weeks, you want to be able to put teams away, especially.
Well, you're defending your own goal line. You're having to force field goals and then go out and defend onside kicks. You don't want to live that way. I mean,
look at the defense in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. I mean, the defense held the Steelers down for 50 minutes or whatever it was. I mean, the Pittsburgh could not move the ball consistently. And the couple times that they did, drive still stalled. But you put the defense in a position because your offense could not finish off drives and could not catch the football. You put the defense in position for what? One play, one ball thrown over their head, and they lose the football game as a result. You know, that's not fair to the defense. You know, you mentioned what this team's good at. This team has a really good defense. I'll argue with about that all day. They have a really good defense. But they've put that defense in a position where even faltering just a little bit, late in a couple of these games has cost them dearly. And okay, yeah, I agree. Marlon Humphrey can't get beat in that spot. And we talked about that last week about how they crumbled in every phase of the game. But week to week, that defense has played at a really high level. They need their offense to get closer to that level. And at times, for parts of games, it's looked really good, but the consistency hasn't been there nearly enough. And, you know, that goes for everyone. You know, we mentioned the running game. You know, the run blocking, the offensive line, it's left something to be desired. They're not knocking people off the ball to the degree that they did under Greg Roman over the last few years. You know, they haven't done that as consistently. We've talked about the passing game. You know, pass protection has certainly been an issue at times, especially with some of the injuries they've had. You know, Lamar, while he's looked brilliant throwing the ball for stretches, and you know, I think overall, I can't say I've been displeased with his overall level of play throwing the football. He's had lapses, you know, had a miscommunication or whatever that was with Rashad Bateman at a critical juncture in the third quarter yesterday on Sunday when things started to go sideways for them. So, you know, you just need to be more complete, more consistent. You certainly have to do better than, technically it was 1 for 6 in the red zone, but I'm going to be fair to them because that one was the muffed punt at the end of the half and you kicked a field goal, but they're still 1 for 5 inside the red zone. That's not nearly good enough. I mean, that's bad. That's really bad.
Well, you lose to a good football team kicking field goals like that, not the Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. And playing keep away from Derrick Henry was also important too. I mean, the fact that he never got on track, he had the one big run, but they didn't have the ball much. And when they did, they weren't inclined to play that way. And I that kind of shocked me early in the morning over in London, getting off the plane, King Henry, all that. I thought he would be a bigger factor in the game. And when he was, and when he did run the ball, I'm like, oh boy, now they're going to play tackle him in the fourth quarter. You think tackle Gus Edwards is a fun game. How about tackling Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter? I'm shocked that the Titans didn't put the foot down, didn't lose the game with him, as opposed to losing the game with Malik Willis, you know?
Well, and part of that is also you get behind. I mean, and that's why it was so frustrating that the third quarter played out the way that it did. You had a 15-point lead at halftime, and you're in a position where you put together a touchdown drive in the third quarter there, and you don't have the penalties and how it played out. You absolutely take Tennessee out of the game. I mean, we debate about the Ravens and, you know, their ability to come from behind. We've talked about that for 3 or 4 years now, right? But Tennessee is absolutely in that same category of teams that is not equipped whatsoever to play from behind. So when you have what happened in the third quarter on Sunday, that's where it was so much, that much more discouraging, because you put them in a position where they cut the lead to 5 and they're in a position where they started to move the ball and they started to get their run going a little bit. But then, you know, Tannehill makes the throw downfield. Geno Stone makes the play, swung the momentum. And from that point, you know, the Ravens didn't finish it emphatically. Let's be clear about that. But they did find a way to finish it, at least in terms of sustaining a couple drives, getting a couple field goals, getting the lead back up to 2 scores. And then, and you said this in our previous segment, and I agree with you. I don't think it was luck per se, because I don't think Ryan Tannehill was beating them either. But Malik Willis coming in, yeah, Tennessee, their operation became, you know, they got the chunk play to Spears on the short pass and long run. But other than that, they couldn't move the ball. What, they sacked Willis 4 times in the fourth quarter. So it was nice for Clowney and for Justin Madubuike and the Ravens pass rush to pad their stats. And look, they did what you want to do against a young quarterback who's in over his head. But it was a situation at that point that they were able to finish, not as impressively as people would have liked, but they were able to put the game basically out of reach. You know, yes, I get it, an onside kick at the very end, but really at that point in time, you didn't really feel like that game was going to, you know, that the Ravens were going to let it slip away that time around. But that was not the case in the third quarter, certainly.
Luke Jones is here. All of it's brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Cole Roofing and Raskin Global. We got such great sponsors around here. I want to give them some love. Luke came out and did the Maryland Crab Cake Tour last week. We were at Drug City at the Fountain. My dude Chuck at the Fountain made me a proper old-fashioned for my birthday. Luke, you didn't even know, but we hung out drinking at the Fountain after the show. So I know you find that hard to believe at 5 o'clock on a Friday, my birthday weekend, Friday the 13th, that I'd be having beverages. Gina Schock walked into the liquor store buying wine. And then, so we pulled her over into the Fountain and told rock and roll stories. So we had a hell of a Friday night over at the Fountain that happened after the show. But you can hear the remnants of the show with George Shulin, our old biology teacher, who was speaking periodic tables of elements and all sorts of physics things that are way. Luke studied in that wing, in that STEM wing. I was in the PE wing in the jock lot over at Dundalk High School. So Luke came over to Dundalk, had some proper pizza on the east side of town, and we sent him back. Luke is off the crab cake tour and back onto the Owings Mills tour here this week. Dude, you said something. Sometimes you say prescient things, and you don't really. You just say brilliant things, and I'm gonna bring it back in. The Ravens have done what you expect against quarterbacks who are in over their heads, and they've had a lot of that. They've had a lot of quarterback play where the other guy across the field, you're like, their Tyler Huntley ain't beating us. Their Bill Troop ain't beating us. Their Mike Kirkland. You know, we've seen a lot of backup quarterbacks. And quite frankly, to your point, you don't love Ryan Tannehill. I don't love Kenny Pickett, even though the ball went overhead and he beat us. Neither one of us love Gardner Minshew. I don't think they love him this week either. You know, this is not a roll call for a 4-2 team to look up and say, look at who we beat. To your point, the other sides had quarterbacks just can't win. I don't even know what else to say. Like, if we had Malik Willis running around right now, we would not be real confident about beating the Lions this week. And the quarterback matters so much. And that's part of Lamar being healthy and upright, right? Yeah. Like, they have to go beat Lamar with their backup quarterback, and they haven't been able to do it. And that, unless Lamar throws a pick, or unless the ball goes over Marlon Humphrey's head, or they do something stupid, or they have penalties or mistakes, will get you beaten. But Lamar alone and the running game, and the fact that they moved the ball 80 yards and stop at the 5-yard line and bring bring Tucker in to kick 23-yard field goals a couple times, things are working here, but things are working against bad quarterbacks and bad teams. And I think that only goes so far, and it's been a very nice, fortunate run in the league. They're going to see Arizona next week. I mean, they better roll over on them, go out to the desert and win that game. But this week here, I think this is a week they're measured. I don't know that they got measured in London because of the trip and what happened last time and whatever. Boy, they better not have gotten off the plane 3-3 losing to Malik Willis like they did to Kenny Pickett last week. And you mentioned the Pittsburgh loss. These guys haven't been in their own bed since the Pittsburgh loss, right? So they had to go over there and live on the right side of the road and the left side of the road and 6-hour difference and like all the things that went on last week for them. But they lost to Pittsburgh in an ugly way. And that shows up on the resume as well, where you make it right by beating the Lions. And this is a big measurement week for me. It just is. This is the first good team that they've seen in my mind, and they're not seeing a lot of them. And I don't even know where. I don't know if the Rams are a good team or the Chargers are a good team. Pretty sure the 49ers are a good team, despite what happened to them in Cleveland over the weekend. And that shows that it's an anybody week and anybody league. Talk about Cleveland Browns playing with backup quarterbacks too, and you lost to them. But that's part of the West Coast, East Coast flying across thing that I talked with Christian Horton last week. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll take the 49ers, dummy. You know, I should listen to the gambling people. But this game here and a matchup against the quality quarterback, this is not the B team this week. And I think I'll feel better about seeing them out on the field beat a good team before I start to anoint them a playoff team at this point, because they haven't impressed me. The Ravens have not impressed me through 6 weeks. They really haven't. I wish they had, because I think they have all this promise every week, like the promise of Rashad Bateman and the promise of draft picks and the promise of health. They haven't had the promise of health, really.
Yeah, I'll disagree and say they look like a playoff team. I mean, every year there are teams that make the playoffs that you're not impressed with whatsoever. So they absolutely look like a playoff team. Now, if you want to say, do they look like a serious top-tier contender through 6 weeks? Then yeah, I'll agree with having some reluctance in anointing them that, in labeling them that. So, you know,
The cover's been better than the book so far.
I'll still give them credit for the week two win in Cincinnati. That's a division opponent. That's the team that's won the division the last couple of years. They've had their number in recent years, especially in Cincinnati. So I'm still going to give them credit for that. But you're right. You look at the overall slate to this point. You look at the overall week-to-week performance. Again, defense has played very well. Defense statistically ranks way up there. So the defense deserves credit, especially considering some of the injuries that they've had and some of the challenges they've had. They have to get better offensively. There's no question about that. So I'm with you. I think this Sunday's game is going to be a really interesting litmus test for the Ravens. I think it also is for the Lions, who, yeah, don't get me wrong, they beat the Chiefs in week one, the Thursday night opener, that, you know, but that's another one of those games that's kind of weird, right? You know, whether you play your starters in the preseason or not, it's always that strange at week one. But you look at their schedule since then, they lost to Seattle in overtime, beat Atlanta, won at Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Packers are not the same team. Beat Carolina, they're no good, and won at Tampa Bay. Yeah, that's, it's not as though they've had a murderer's row of opponents that they've faced since Kansas City in week one. So
it's their second biggest game of the year, right? This is their measurement. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a game where the winner is going to be, you know, puffing their chest out a little bit, and should be, because, you know, the Lions have been really good to this point. And you have a Ravens team that they're 4-2. Yeah, I get it. It's been choppy, but they've also played four of those games on the road. So you go 4-2 when you start out with 4 of 6 on the road. I think anyone would have taken that at the start of the season. I think when we were talking about the schedule back in May, we would have said, you know, you want to be 4-2. You know, you don't want to be 3-3. Heaven forbid you're 2-4 and not playing well on the road at all. So it is what it is. They have to get better. There's no doubt about that. You know, this is not a team that I look at right now as a top three, top four, top five team in the NFL. But even some of those top five teams, like I said, were choppy this past week. It's week to week in the NFL. And I think for me, not just Detroit, but also how does this team handle the back end of the London trip? How do you handle readjusting back to a, quote, normal life, playing back in the Eastern time zone? Because, again, back in 17, it was that lousy loss to the Jaguars, but then they also came home and they got punked by the Steelers playing at home the week after that. So I think you'll take a, you know, pedestrian, choppy, whatever you want to call the effort it was on Sunday. It was a win, but certainly you want to follow that up by coming home for the first time in about a month and playing at a high level and coming out and getting a win against a team in the Detroit Lions who are absolutely looking like a playoff team in the NFC.
I hope somebody brought me back some fish and chips. I hope everybody that went to London had a good time. Luke and I believe we would be heading to Houston, Texas at some point this week. That did not happen. We're laying low. We're going to be here all week. We're going to be putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I'll be getting my oil changed this week as well. Our 25th anniversary is underway. Our friends at Curio Wellness had the Bronfine sisters on, but had Rebecca and Wendy on talking about cannabis education and flower and vaping and terpenes and all the health benefits. You can find out more at Curio Wellness. You can find out more at the front of our website for our 25th anniversary as we take it out. So this week, Luke will be in Owings Mills. Things get a little bit more normal. Baseball's a little bit more on the back burner. We'll be watching the ALCS, and certainly for the NLCS and the folks in your life who may be Phillies fans. That's going on all week long as well. You can find us at Baltimore Positive. Luke's going to be in Owings Mills, and I'm just going to be here, Ness at Baltimore Positive, a year older and a year less wiser. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, talking Lions all week. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.